guys, welcome to episode 13 of the I Heart Running podcast. As most of you know, I took a bit of a break from recording new episodes, and it's been 9 months. This podcast is a passion project for me, and unfortunately, life has gotten a little bit in the way of being able to produce more content. Thank you for being patient, and I'm so thankful for everyone who has listened in so far. I have been wanting to get back into it because there are so many runners who I want to interview, and for episode 13, you guys are in for such a treat. Anna Rizal is not only an accomplished ultramarathoner, but also a mama of a little girl. You would never know that she only started running not too long ago and completed her first ultra in 2019, albeit pregnant. I had the pleasure of meeting Anna through the Kentech Trail Running Clinic in 2018, where she was one of the leaders. Anna's not only one of the most accomplished ultramarathoners out there, she's also one of the co-founders of Rich Metals Run Crew, but is also an amazing ambassador for the sport. She approaches running with such a positive and encouraging attitude that is nothing short of contagious. She was a joy to chat with on this episode and in real life on the trails. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited. This is great.
Me too. Okay, well, let's get this party started. Just a quick introduction. I met Anna, I think in 2018 at a Kentech running clinic. And maybe a little bit before then on Instagram. And It's funny because I think you were still relatively, I guess, were we both new runners? Perhaps.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your running journey and how you got started and up to the point of where we met.
So in 2013, actually, I lost a really close friend of mine by suicide. And afterwards, like I felt like just a loss of control a little bit, I think, and didn't really know how to help raise awareness or anything. And so some close friends of mine, we found a couple of runs that were for mental health, one specifically for women's mental health, which is like the Shoppers Drug Mart run for women. And then another is Darkness into Light, specifically for suicide prevention and awareness. And so we started running those each year, and I wasn't a runner before then. So before 2014, I hated running, and then went and joined those, and then realized that it really sucked every single year going back to try and train for a 5K after doing nothing for the rest of the year. And so just kind of started running a little bit more, I think probably at the beginning of 2018. And then I realized like I actually really didn't like road running at all. It was not fun for me. So I looked through Running Room, which probably, I love Running Room, but probably not the best place to be looking for trail races. I looked through Running Room and then I found the Edge to Edge half marathon in Euclid and Tofino. And so I went and did that. And then I think right after that is when you and I met.
Wow, I never heard of that race. Actually, that sounds amazing. Was that on a road?
Yeah, so I had no idea. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought it was this trail half marathon, and I was very excited to be just like ripping through the trails. And then when I got there, it was pretty like, I would say it's pretty even half and half. Yeah. And it was really great. It was beautiful. Like you run a little bit on the road and then you duck into the Wild Pacific Trail, something like that. And then you're basically just running along the coast and just beautiful views. Really easy trail, like non-technical, like pretty well maintained. It was really beautiful.
That's my type of run.
Yeah.
I'm a hybrid runner, as you know, and I kind of like a bit of trail and road and or a runnable trail, I guess. So I wonder if they still have that. I have to look it up.
Oh, they do. You should totally do it. It was really fun. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So I have a question here then. How did you go from 5K on the roads? And if you know Anna Rizal, she is like an ultra marathoner. Like I'm talking about the whole time, she doesn't do like 5K road runs if you talk to her. So how the heck did you go from road running like 5Ks to all of a sudden jumping to something longer than 50?
I don't know how that happened. I went from the 5K road runs, and then I like even to get to the 5K road runs, I was like couch to 5K. And then I used the ASICS app to get me to the half marathon in Euclid. And then after that, I remember talking to people and them being like, I'm running a marathon, I'm running a 50K. And I'm like, that's nuts. Like, absolutely not. And then I started joining some of the smaller, I don't know if you remember when MEC had, like MEC had their races.
That was
Yeah.
my first trail race was in Squamish and Neck race, and the draw was it was $15, 1-5, and
Yeah.
perk, but for $15, I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, it was $15. They had coffee and a banana at the end and at the start, I guess, too. The races were beautiful. So I joined all of those and I started doing those, the 5 and the 10K ones. And then, yeah, and then I don't know. I did the Valley Vertikiller when it was just a 16K before it jumped to the 20 and the 30. And that was like a race that just made me fall in love with like true trail running, like just in the trails. And then after that, I don't even know how it happened, how I jumped from doing these small races. No idea. And then I just signed up for DV and I don't know what I was, I don't know.
By the way, that's a very important, I think, milestone in your running career. But when I met you in 2018, you were already a Kentech trail running clinic, and that was how I did the MEC race, and then I decided I need to get, it was a hard race. I mean, it was short. I think it was 10K, but it was very technical. And for anyone who starts as a road runner, for me, I think the transition, it wasn't as simple. I love trails, but it was so hard, and I realized I need to, get some more time on feet, trails, and that's why I joined. I was living in Burnaby at the and for the, you were one of the leaders, so I thought, oh wow, she's quite seasoned. Like, I can't imagine leading a trail run as a new. How the heck did you become, from 5K roads to like a trail run leader?
Yeah, I don't. So I saw, like, I had gone to Kintec a lot. Like, Kintec was where I had always gotten all my gear. I just really trusted them and I really thought that they were really knowledgeable people. And then I saw, I think through a friend of mine, somebody said, like, they're looking for somebody to help pace some of their clinics. And I just kind of laughed, thinking, why would I be pacing a clinic? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they're like, no, like you know what your pace is, and they need pacers. If you just let them know what your pace is, then you could just like lead the people. And I'm like, oh, actually, okay. And so I sent them an email and thought it would also be a really nice way to just kind of build some connections because up until that point, like I'd been running solo. Like I didn't have any running friends. I'd tried to join a couple of running groups, but there weren't a ton out where like where we are, I guess, like out in Maple Ridge, there really wasn't a lot. And so yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I'll meet some cool people. It's a trail running clinic. Like I'll meet some people who might want to run trails with me. And yeah, and they very kindly like took me up on it. And I got to run one of their clinics for the season. It was really nice.
Yeah, that was really neat. For the listeners who don't know about Kentech, there's quite a few clinics now, but I remember even when I was starting my trail running journey in 2018, there weren't, it didn't seem to me a lot of options. I mean, there were some groups, but they seemed so advanced. And I felt,
Yeah.
yeah, like at least with clinic, they had like a beginner. Well, how Kentech does it, they have like a beginner level, intermediate, and you can hop back and forth, which is great because some days you do feel more like a beginner and some days you feel a little more bold, right? And I thought, okay, what a great way to get introduced and meet more people. So I dragged a bunch of my friends.
As you do.
Yeah, and they're kind of gangly guys. And no offense, they're awesome guys, but they're like fast road runners. And I guess from the road running community, the perception is trail running is slow. Trail running is, you know what I mean? Like
Yes.
it didn't have the appeal. And now having done more trails, I can tell you, I am in awe of anyone who runs trails all the time. Like that's Anna for you. So
Yes.
story starting, and which I think gap there between that. So what Anna has done now is not only is she an ultra marathoner, she did her first ultra, which one of the hardest ultras, and then she's also the one of the founders of her own trail running group. So I think you're probably the best person to talk about that. Like, how do you want, what do you want to talk about first? How do you, your first ultra, training for your first ultra, how do you, what happened there?
Yeah, sure. Let's go there. Yeah, so I don't know how I signed up. I really don't know what jumped me to the 50. Oh, I know exactly what jumped me. Never mind. I do know. I wanted to do a longer distance in the trails, but it was, I was really, really hard pressed to find something that was like a marathon distance. Like even now I only know of, I think, two races in BC, that do the marathon distance in the trails. And at the time, like, I couldn't find those. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm just gonna try and do a 50, like, let's go. So I signed up, and Diaz Vista is one that is very well known. It is the Coast Mountain Trail Series, one of their, I guess, their season opener for their big races, I guess. Or no, Run Ridge Run is. But yeah, so I signed up. And then there's a running group who's really fantastic, and they've been around a really long time. They run out of Port Moody, and they were training around the lake. So I started going with them a lot. And then partway through my training, I actually found out I was pregnant. So that was kind of a new addition to the training log. But it was great. My doctor was really great about it, and I just made sure I consulted. And then, I just made sure that I was safe about it, and we kept running. And then, yeah, Diaz Vista came. It was the most miserable, miserable day. Like, I remember being on Powerline Road, which is like up at the top, and it's just kind of like a flowy hydro road section. And it was just like sideways rain, like pelting winds, and people were dropping like left, right, and center. And I just was like, okay, like, this is normal. And I just kept going because I had no idea what really to expect. So I just thought it was totally fine. I'm like, oh, like, this is fine. And I couldn't eat. I don't know why I couldn't eat. Like, I'd been feeling some morning sickness and stuff, and I had trained like really religiously with like a homemade thing. And then I just couldn't eat it on the day of. And so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to live off miso soup and whatever else they hand me at the aid stations. But other than that, it was a really great race. Like, terrible weather, and my stomach wasn't feeling good, but it was really awesome. And I finished faster than I thought I would. And yeah,
I think you did. Awesome. I thought the version of the story I heard was that you didn't even know that you were pregnant or something.
Oh no, I knew.
Okay, but that's amazing. So you completed your first ultra, one of the toughest ultras, by the way, for those who don't know. It's a very technical, there are some crazy climbs. It's a Coast Mountain race, for those who are familiar, and the Gary Robbins special, I guess. That for the first time this year, so I know. And
yeah,
it's tough. And for to go from like road running, or I guess you could say border trails, to jump to a 50, that's an amazing accomplishment. And April is like, I think every year I you know, I also am a spectator, and I always watch, I love watching all the updates on my feed about people doing Diaz Vistas, because
yes,
those muddy and slippery on a technical trip. And I think I used to do even those Kintec runs, and if it's slightly muddy or wet, it can be very or even high, like going down, like I'm amazed. And you did amazing, and that was like your first ultra, and like you said, you can get your nutrition in. And it goes to show, you know, you never know what you can accomplish if you don't try, right?
Yeah, totally. And I remember being really scared about it, and like talking to my doctor about it, being like, should I be stopping running? Because I'd be training, and training was pretty, like, I would say training was pretty intense. I followed the training plan, and I think you did the same one with Chrissy Moles.
I loved her book. I was going to ask you, what training plan did you use? Did you use one for your?
Yeah, that's okay. The one I used, Chrissy Moll.
We love you. And I think it was such a good, I think she had different plans for beginners and people who want to do something greater. But I found as a beginner, it was so unintimidating, and it was tough training, but I felt so prepared.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that you followed a training plan. I thought, okay, you know, I met Anna. She's doing Kintec. Next thing you know, she's doing Diaz Vista. Was that 20?
Yeah.
That you did?
DV was 2019.
2019.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so I did. I basically went from doing like the Kintec clinic the summer prior, so like 2018 summer, and then basically like 2 months later. I actually remember when I decided to do DV, my husband and I went to Vetter Mountain, and we just were hiking, and I was like, this is great. And then we were talking about, he was just asking me about races and stuff. And then I just decided then and there, I was like, well, if I can do this, then I can do that. Like, I don't know how that happened, but yeah. But the training plan, like Chrissy's training plan is fantastic, because one of the things that I really liked about it is I know that a lot of people pay big money to have coaches or to have customized training plans that get edited like every couple months by these really great coaches. But the nice thing about Chrissy's training plan in that book, or the training plans, I should say, is that she had a lot of days where it was like, you could do this, or you could also do this and you'll have the same impact on your like endurance build or your hills or whatever it is that you're working on. She always had kind of like alternate things that you were doing. And then in the written part too, she also said, like really emphasized, like, if you're not feeling great, like don't push yourself, like take a day that's not going to hurt you and then kind of jump back in. So I think it was really a realistic training plan for like a first. So yeah, and it worked really well, and it gave me some structure, and it was great.
I was going to say, you were very successful in your first ultra, still doing them, so obviously it worked. And to this day, you have gotten a coach. Are you still doing the same thing? Are you still following her plan? What are you doing for me?
Yeah, I still do use her plan. So a friend of mine actually took her plan and put it into this really beautiful, like, color-coded spreadsheet. And it's all organized by date. She's very organized. And then, but I'm also very loosey-goosey now. So I follow it, and I know kind of like, I know I always follow the long runs. So whatever the big long runs are for the weekend, the back-to-backs or whatever, I'll always follow those. And then during the week, I'm a little bit loosey-goosey because I don't really like speed runs very much. So I tend to skip those or alter them a little bit or that kind of thing. But it still works. And I like having that structure. And if I feel like being a little bit more structured or have the time to be more structured, I guess I can like follow it to a T. But it's nice now, I think, that I've run so much that I feel more confident in like straying away a little bit from the training plan. I feel like I have a good build or a good base and a decent understanding of like where my body is at and how I feel, that I can kind of get away with it now to be a little bit more loosey-goosey.
So I think the thing I noticed with her plan is, with unlike many plans, she does it by time. And I think that's what was really unintimidating for me, is instead of saying, oh, you need to run by this time and this pace, is more like, okay, you need to get, I think, 2 hours on feet or something like that. I can't remember. I think that's how she geared her plan for training. But I need to take a look, because it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah, her training, I don't think it's like a set time. I think it's like, she intends on having a set time, and then it's like, it's probably going to be between this many kilometers and this many, or this many miles and this many miles, because it's done in miles. But it's very wide open, which, like, is really nice.
Mm-hmm. And she did emphasize, I think I like the fact that she's a woman, and I'm not saying that women can't run like men, but I feel that she's in tune with our needs and bodies kind of different, how we recover and our needs, and I feel as a female runner, it could be very different. When I first started trail running, I didn't know a lot of female trail runners. I mostly ran with like 90% men, and I think that's why I wanted to join a clinic, to meet more women like you. And
yeah,
it's different. I mean, I can't explain to a guy, oh, I'm very exhausted today, and it's hormonal, you know. It's not maybe it was. It's not because I didn't eat. It could be just eating, even. And like, our needs are so different from week to week, today to day. And I feel that's a topic that not many people have touched upon. And that's why I'm really excited to have you as, you know, a female ultra runner, you know. And I feel like you're very accomplished. Like, how many ultras have you done now?
I want to say 4 that I finished, the 1 DNF this year, and then I did 1 solo to raise money and awareness for mental health issues in Golden Era. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, it's weird to think that I have so many. I mean, it's not so many, but that I have a number of them now kind of under my belt.
That's quite crazy. Between like 2018, 2019 to now, considering there were like 2 years of no races, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all forget. I mean, we don't forget, but we had a couple of years where we didn't have a choice. And you just recently accomplished one. Like, which one was that one again?
I just did the shoe swap Lewiston Ultra events, their 60K.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
How did that go?
Really well. I think that I left that race and realized very quickly that I really, like, I'm not a racer. I run races, but I don't race. I'm out there, like, having fun. My goal is always, like, have fun, keep smiling, and don't get injured. That's really the goal, and to finish. Yeah. And so I generally, and like some of the other ladies in the run crew will kind of attest to this, is that I generally kind of go a little bit easy and don't really give myself a lot of credit for how hard I probably can go. And so during the race, it was great. I had a lot of fun, did the steep climb at the beginning. And then after the 30K mark, it's pretty much just like flowy, cruisy, downhill, a little bit of climbing, but very, very minimal. It's a really runnable course after that. And I feel like I was very reserved the entire way because I didn't want to blow out my legs and not be able to run across the finish line. And then so I ran across the finish line and I was like, oh, well, I could have gone harder. Like immediately I was like, my leg, like, I feel fine. I could have run harder. I could keep going. So it was a really nice, it was a nice feeling knowing that, you know, 60K is a long way and that I still was able to feel good and that, like, I had no fueling issues, no cramping. Like, it was like the perfect day for me out in the trails. It was like amazing.
Is that your longest trail run, I guess?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, that's, yeah, the jump. I don't, yeah, I've always wanted to do that race. It's been around for a few years, like a couple years prior to COVID it started. And that was actually the first race that I had looked at when I was looking for like longer trail races. And I just couldn't ever bring myself to go because the thought of traveling somewhere and racing alone and not knowing where I was really intimidating to me. I wasn't ready to do that. So that's why DV was such an easy one for me to pull the trigger on and sign up for, because it was like backyard trails, essentially. Like, I know Bunsen Lake very well. So that was in my comfort zone, but Shoe Swap was definitely a step out of my comfort zone, but it was a good one.
I remember that finish line video because I think your little one was waiting for you and you ran across together. So cute.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cute. Like, I think on my Instagram post, I said something about how, like, for my first ultra, I crossed the finish line and I was pregnant. So I was carrying her with me. And then this is the very first time that we've like crossed a finish line together. And I think somebody commented and said, like, you crossed many finish lines together, but this is just the first one that she's kind of run herself. And I was like, that's true. I ran a lot of races pregnant. And then now we got to run it across together. And she thinks she won the race. Like, she's very pumped on winning her first trail race.
were you emotional at the end?
I was pretty emotional. I was really happy. I really lucked out. A couple of people from the run crew, one of the guys who run with us, Matthew, he got second place male overall. Like, he crushed it and he flew through that course. He's an amazing athlete. And he waited hours. Like, I mean, hours. I think he finished in like 5 hours and 40 minutes or something around there. And I finished in like 9 hours. And he waited the entire time with his wife. So they were both waiting for me at the finish line. And then my husband was there and my daughter ran across the finish line with me. So when I crossed the finish line, it was just like I was really emotional just because I'm not really used to crossing a finish line and having like people that I love there. That doesn't usually happen. Usually my husband's working or can't come. So it was really nice to just have like a group of people who were there, like actually waiting for me and like rooting for me. So that was really cool.
I think I've seen so many photos and videos of people finishing ultras, and it looks so amazing when you're able to finish for someone, you know, that you love is waiting for you. Especially at the end of a tough race. I mean, 6 feet, small feet, that's amazing. I mean, I think you under, I guess, what's that word? I don't, you always underplay your accomplishments, Anna. And I feel like, okay, that's like, I mean, 50 is a lot, 60 is even more. And while Matthew did it in 5 hours, it's even more. 9 hours is amazing to me. I mean, that's a long time on your feet. Like, it's not a small, like, you were out there all day.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a long day. It was a really... It didn't feel like 9 hours though. Like that was the nice thing about it is that like I was out there and we got to the like right in the middle at 30K, they have an aid station and we got there and I like ran up and then I kind of walked in and I got changed and I was chatting with people and like it didn't feel like I had been running for as long as I had. It just was like, all right, we'll see you guys later. And they had music and I was just happy and trotted along on my way. And then yeah, it really didn't feel like 9 hours. Like it was a really enjoyable time, which was really nice. I think that actually this past race, the Shoe Shop race, is the first race that I can say that it was like the perfect day. Like I had no issues at all throughout the day. Every other race that's not true. One of my DVs was really good, but
I looked like you had a great time at WAM last year.
Oh, I had such a good time at WAM, but leading up to WAM, I had a couple ankle issues that I was trying to rehab. Just like I had rolled my ankle a few weeks before and it was healed and it was fine, but I was just really, it was a little bit stiff and I was feeling really nervous about it. Mm-hmm. And everything was great. Like climbing up Whistler was great. And then it wasn't until I got onto the ascent trail, where it's just like climbing up and I was really taking my time and somebody wanted to pass me, which is totally fine. Like people should pass. And so I kind of stepped to the side, but I caught an edge, of like a rock and my ankle just slipped a little bit funny. And so I was like, oh, well, this doesn't feel great. So I kind of slowed down even more. And then I started trying to I was compensating. And so then I ended up, I don't know if it was my compensating or maybe I just hadn't been drinking enough water because it was too hot out. But my leg started like that leg started cramping up a little bit. And so that was like pretty unpleasant to the point where I got reception at one of the final aid stations just before hitting Blackcomb. And I actually texted my husband and I said, I might actually drop. Like I just need a minute. I'm going to think about it. I might drop. And then I just had like, I think I had some bacon and then I just kind of stood around for a little bit. And then I was like, you know what? It's only like 9 kilometers or something from here. I can make it 9 kilometers walking if I need to. And mm-hmm. so I just went the rest of the way and I was able to run and stuff. And it was really enjoyable after that. But I definitely had, I would say probably like an hour during that race where I was like mentally very done and didn't know that I would be able to continue. So I'm glad I took a minute and just like relaxed and thought it over before actually pulling the trigger on it, because now WAM's not a thing. So I'm very glad that I was able to finish and have that medal and have that experience, because that's like the best race. Like WAM in a heartbeat, I would do that again and again and again.
Well, thanks for sharing that experience with us. I guess because we don't always hear the stories. I mean, not from your friends. I didn't even know that you dealt with that, and you only sometimes see the happy finish line photos and we don't know what happens between the start and the finish. And I guess with ultras, anything can happen. And I guess you had your DNF you mentioned earlier this year, and how did you recover from like your DNF? And that wasn't due to injury, that was just a really bad migraine, I guess. But was it like a struggle? Did you have to deal with, I guess I had my first DNF this year, and for me, it was a struggle. I mean, I guess the initial kick, it felt like a kick in a bulge if I had to, but.
Yeah, the DNF was really hard for me. And I think it is for a lot of people. Especially because like Dies Vista, I had run Dies Vista twice already. And I ran it when I was pregnant, and I ran it the year before, right after COVID restrictions kind of lifted. And it's kind of on, like, I kind of call them like home trails because I've run there so much and I know them like the back of my hand. And so going into it, like, I actually remember on the morning of taking our photo with the crew and then talking with some of the guys and saying something along the lines of like, that I won't DNF, like that I'll be able to, like, it's just DV. Like I know the course, I can push myself through. I know that if you make it to such and such aid station by this time, you can walk it in. So unless I get injured, like I'm all in. And then like, I don't know, 4 hours later, I'm like crying, walking into an aid station, like just trying to keep it together. So it was that was a really, really tough hit. And like, it still hurts. It's really hard. And I remember after just trying to like keep it together and try and figure out like next step, because it definitely made me question things. Because the reason why I DNF'd was because I get really bad migraines, and they basically start off with being like a little bit disoriented, and then I get an aura and I basically just can't see, and sometimes my vision comes back after taking some medication within maybe an hour or so, and sometimes I'm out for a number of hours and then symptoms progress. And so I got a migraine, I want to say at the 18 kilometer mark. And it sucked. And then I thought, I had Advil and Tylenol and I took it and then made it to one of the aid stations. And by this point, like Jenna, it was at 22K, I think the aid station was. And then at this point, another lead from the crew was running with me, and she was basically guiding me. And basically she knew just to tell me like, is there a, like, I'm just going to keep running, and you just kind of tell me if I need to be extra careful about like a big rock or a pothole or whatever it is. It was ridiculous. Like, I don't know how she did it, and I don't know how I did it. It was a really dumb idea. But made it to the aid station, took like a pill that I would take for like actual migraines, not just Tylenol. Mm-hmm. And then I was on my way. I left that aid station. I was crying the whole time. I left, and then I ran another, I guess I ran until 31K, 30-ish K, with her just guiding me. And then I think maybe like 2 kilometers away from that, the last aid station, I was like, I just stopped her and I just said like, you're going to leave me at this aid station. And she was really devastated as well. She's like, this is really hard to like watch your friend go through this. And she's like, oh, are you sure? I'll do whatever you need. Like, I can wait and I can keep guiding you. And I was like, this is dangerous. Like, this is not a good way to be racing. Like, I don't feel well. I can't see. I'm going to get injured, or you're going to get injured, because you're so focused on me that you're not paying attention to your own needs. And so, yeah, so then we got to the aid station and I dropped, and I was like, I just basically stood there crying, and I felt really badly because the ladies at that aid station were wonderful. They kept offering me things like, they're like, oh, do you need electrolytes? Are your legs cramping up? Like, they thought it was something physical. And I had to explain to them, like, my body feels perfectly fine. I just can't see. And they were like, oh my gosh. And they were really, really kind. And then I think I told one of them, and I feel very badly about it still, where I said, you know, I really appreciate everything that you're doing, but I actually can't really hold a conversation right now. So I'm just going to stand here. My friend's coming to pick me up. If I need something, I'll let you know. But I just like, I really just need space. And they were really great and lovely and everything. But I just stood there like, oh no.
So pounding and you're like, so dealing with your migraine really badly at that point, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't a great time. Like, my medication, basically, I would say it just didn't work for hours, until hours later, actually. I think it wasn't until like 4:30 that I was like, oh, I can see perfectly fine and I don't feel so awful anymore. So it was quite a long time before it actually worked. And I was really lucky because another person from the run crew, she was there and she was popping by each aid station just to say hi and cheer everyone on who was running with us. And so she was the one actually who we texted and just said, you know, like, come pick me up. So she was there really quickly, because she was just killing time until she could go up to aid station 5, I want to say, up at the end of Powerline Road. And so she picked me up pretty quick. We were able to take somebody else who had DNF'd back to the start line so he could grab his things. And then she made fun of me because she's like, all right, well, let's get you home. And I was like, you know what? No, I want to go up to aid station 5. I want to go see Jenna and Dave. Like, I want to see all these people who I know rip through the aid station, even though I can't even see. Like, I'm like, I just want to know that they're there and like be there. She was like, okay. And so we did that and then went home. But after that, I think it was like, I want to say it was like a good month or so where I really had, I was really trying to figure out like, is this sustainable? Like, the migraine really threw me through a loop. I was wondering like, am I pushing my body too hard, or like, am I just not able to do this anymore? Am I going to get migraines out in a long run? Which really scared me because I do run, like, I run a lot with the group and I run a lot with a couple of running friends. But I do go out by myself and I go out in the trails, where I don't have reception or anything. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue training, because if I get a migraine, I'm in the middle of the trails. Like, that's not, I don't want to bother like search and rescue because I'm migraine prone and I get a migraine running in the middle of nowhere. Like, I just didn't, I really had to grapple with that. And it was really, really tough.
Wow, I used to get really bad migraines as a kid, and I couldn't even function. Like, I would have to be in a room in the dark for hours, and nothing would work. So I don't know how you even stuck around when, like, I'm amazed. I didn't, and a thought didn't cross my mind because I trained with you, and I've seen you training these crazy long runs. And I guess you never ever brought up the fact that, you know, I never foresaw that you would get, of all things that would stop you during an ultra, was a migraine, right? Nothing, not underplaying that. I think migraines are crazy. It's called an ankle roll. You know what I mean? Like, it,
Yeah.
you can't just will it to go away or just walk it off.
Yeah, that was a thing, right? Is I'm like, oh, like unless I get injured, like I'm not dropping. And then I was like, oh, it's a migraine, which is something that you can't, it's not physical. Well, there are physical symptoms, but
Yeah.
you know, like nothing's broken. In 24 hours, I'll be perfectly fine. Like there's, it was just such a, yeah, it was not something I had actually thought about ever really happening. Especially because I used to get them a lot more frequently, and then I had to, like I can't have dairy products anymore because those are big triggers for me, and I really have to monitor like my sleep and my water intake because when I get slightly dehydrated, I get migraines. And I've been really, really good about it for years now. Like I think I found this out when I was 20, 26 or 27. So my whole life with migraines and didn't actually get like go see a neurologist and get things sorted out until I was in my mid-20s. And then since then I've been really, really good about it. And so I've never really felt like a migraine would throw me during any type of race or anything. I just kind of didn't, I thought it was like a non-issue. And then all of a sudden it happened, and then I was like questioning my entire running, like everything running, like, can I even do this? Which is so dramatic because I mean, of course, of course I can. It was one day, one migraine, things happen. But DNFs just get into your head, right? You just
Not
don't know.
I don't I think that, like you said, it makes you question everything, like one event, because you train so hard for this one day. I mean, I know the purpose of training for an ultra is the training is fun too and everything, but I guess it's a celebration, as people say, and all of a sudden, you know, that didn't work out the way you envisioned it in your head. How did you overcome that? Like, obviously you went back into it because you did your swap 60. So
Yeah.
yeah, like, how did you overcome that mental, I guess you could, you know, all the mental blocks and the, you know, the, I guess it kind of takes a blow to your confidence. That's how I felt for me. You know, I always felt confident. I knew that I never questioned, like you said, other than injury, you never would think that you cannot finish a race. Like, why, how did you overcome that, I guess, that doubt in your head that something may happen again?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a hit to your confidence, and you never think that's what's going to happen. You always think that you'll be able to finish a race unless there's some kind of massive injury. For me, I think, I don't know. I think I'm still a little bit weary, but the shoe swap really, really helped. But I really think just like talking to people about it has really helped a lot. Like after, like I have to say, like the people in the run group are amazing. When I went up to aid station 5 and I had DNF'd and I was like crying, Brittany basically walked me up, and then one of the guys from the crew was running or helping run aid station 5, and he saw me and he's like, oh, because he had just realized that I had DNF'd, and he like gave me a huge hug and he was like, are you okay? And he was talking to me, and I was like, yeah, I'm like devastated, but it's fine. And I was like crying, and he's still helping people. And then I had seen him, I saw him the following week for our Thursday run, and he was talking to me a lot about it. And I like a lot of people in the crew who like come out with us a lot have talked to me about it. And I think that really helped because I think, like you said, like I think a lot of us don't give ourselves enough credit for what we're capable of and all the stuff that we do. And the work that we put in and all of that. And so like I was really questioning, and I was just like, I don't really want to talk about DV, but it really just sucked. And just their responses and seeing that how much confidence that they had in me as well, like that really helped. Because you don't really have a lot of conversations like that where people are just constantly like building you up and being like, hey, you're actually great. Like it does happen, but not to that capacity or that to that extent. So I think that really helped. And then I just had to really just kind of smack myself and be like, you know what, migraines are a thing and we know this, like let's rally and keep moving forward. Cause if I let the fear of having migraines stop me from doing all the things that I love, that really wouldn't be a great life.
I think you're an amazing runner, Anna. And actually I finally got to meet the person here because I moved out to your neighborhood and and I think that leads to our next topic. I feel so lucky because like I said, when I first started trail running, I didn't really know a lot of people. It is intimidating, I feel, as a new runner and to join a group of strangers who may already know each other and are good friends. But I felt comfortable joining. Like I remember my first run of you guys, it wasn't an easy run for me. I'm not good at technical trail running and I found it pretty technical and I always get lost. It doesn't matter if it's my own backyard, but I think it's so nice to meet people who are passionate about what they do. And like you said, no one's there. It's not like everyone's standing around in a circle. Oh, you're amazing. But
yeah,
it happened like, you know, you just show up, everyone goes running and everyone's having a good time. But it's so funny because I felt like, oh, I'm too slow. I think I kept repeating to myself in my head, I'm too slow. And you kept encouraging me to come out, you and Jenna. And I felt like this year has been an amazing trail running. You know, I guess I'm getting back into it after it is. And it's been so nice to meet so many people. And I met so many girlfriends. Like I said, I think what's lacking in my life is having girlfriends. And not, no offense against guys, but just having women to run with, you know, women around my
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm so glad that you came out. You're amazing. And it's so nice to have you out. And you are an incredible runner. And you, like, your training this year, like Jenna and I talked about it a lot. Actually, we'd see you do your solo runs and we were like cheering for you. Like, we're not anywhere near you. And we're like, yes, May's out running. Like, she's out at the park by herself, like exploring the trails. This is amazing.
I think that's funny. This is so funny. So I would go out, you know, like, you know, we'll head out to the same area doing our long runs, I guess. And I needed to get a long run in. And I guess it's hard to find people to do it. So I would just go out solo and I would see you guys. Like, I would bump into you guys in the parking lot. And I would think about Jenna the whole time because it's certain things that would stay in my head that you or Jenna said to me about running. Like, Jenna would be like, just run this hill. And every time I'd be like, Jenna's telling me to run up this hill. It's so funny. And I guess I don't know, like you guys, I think you guys are amazing. I mean, you guys have inspired me so much. And every time you guys go out, it looks like you're just having a ton of fun together. And that's all it is to me. Like, you guys are amazing runners, but you don't talk about, like you said, no one's standing around in a circle saying, oh, you're amazing. It's just out there and just, that's what I mean, everyone in a group, like there isn't a single person that I've met through Ridge Metals who hasn't like amazed me in some way. Like, it's incredible. And it's not because of the distance. I mean, the distance amazes me, but just because of the dedication and a passion. Like, you guys trained through the winter. You know, it snows quite a bit here. I guess moving out here, I realized no one clears the snow, not only from the street, but no one clears the snow at all. So you're like, you know, knee deep in snow and to get out there, right?
Yeah, we've really lucked out. We've talked about it a lot, like the people who come out for our, like I've gone out with a lot of different groups while trying to find a group to run with before we created our run group. Yeah. And like some of them were really welcoming and great, and some of them were a little bit clicky, and so like sometimes you just need to find kind of your vibe. And I feel like the people who come out with our crew are just like, there's not a single one of them who I have anything bad to say about. Like, they're all just like really kind. All of them are so encouraging. They all have, like, everyone's kind of different in what they run. Like, we do have a lot of trail runners now and like ultra runners, but we also do have a lot of road runners who just crush in the road. And it's nice to see everybody kind of just encourage each other and be like, it's interesting to have, you know, like a road runner and an ultra runner running the same run on a Thursday. Like, it's kind of a strange thing, but everybody gets along really well, and we've really lucked out on the people who have decided to come out and join us pretty consistently, which is awesome.
I need to get out on a Thursday. I usually don't manage, but I want to join for a road run. And it's funny.
Yeah.
I used to love road running more than trails, and lately I'm just like, I don't really want to add another road to my week. It's so tiring.
The Thursday run is so funny. Like, it would be great to have you out. Thursdays are fun. It's the same route every week. We end with a beer, and now that it's summer, we end with gelato too, so it's a nice little combo. It's like perfect. But I remember when we started doing Thirsty Thursdays a while back, and we did them once in a while, and then when we were talking about doing them as a consistent thing that just kind of is a staple and it runs every week, I was actually, like, I wasn't against it. I thought it was a great idea, but I'm such a trail runner that I was like, oh, we got to run every Thursday on the road. Like, I'm such a trail snob. I was like, what? And then as soon as we started doing it, I was like, no, this is great. We're not changing the route. This makes sense. Love it. Like, it totally changed my mind. Like, road running is not my thing, but road running with like certain people, if you have the right people and you have some like social time afterwards, that is a lot of fun.
That's how I feel about the Saturday, Sunday trail runs. Because I can run a road by myself anytime. I'll just hop outside, you know, on my house and go for a road run, 10K, no issue. But I find it makes the time go by so fast on a trail when you have friends to run with. And you don't have to worry about
Yeah, it really, really does. You just kind of cruise along, and like, you can kind of mindlessly cruise along if there's other people in front of you and you're like, okay, go ahead. And you can kind of just do your thing and enjoy the scenery. And I don't know, it goes by really quickly with the crew. Like, some of those runs that we've done in the trails have been so long, where we've, especially in the summer months, like last year, adding on distance for like WAM training. So what we'd do is we'd get up really early and we'd run, and then we'd meet the crew for our group run, and then we'd add on more after, and we'd be out there for like 6 hours, but it didn't feel like 6 hours.
I used to be, that's when I joined, and I remember I would show up for the run, and then you and I think Jenna would go on, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of running. And you guys didn't seem to mind leading the group. That's really nice for you guys to do that. That's a lot to train for your own race and also dedicate yourself to leading, you know, a formal group at least twice a week. That's a lot of dedication there. How did you actually get started with like forming a group? Do you guys just meet each other and decide we need a group out here? How did that start?
So when we first started the group, there was like we've said already, like there wasn't a lot a few years ago for running trail running groups specifically, and like more accessible ones for beginners too. And I was on Strava and I was looking like, what groups are there? And there was one out here and I don't remember the name of it. And I remember looking and nobody was posting anything. And so I posted a message and I said, hey, are there any runs that go with this group? And some man messaged back and said, yeah, like stay tuned. And so like, I kind of carried on and just kept doing what I was doing and I didn't hear anything. So I messaged again, like right before Thanksgiving. And I just sent another message like, hey, does anyone want to run? Like, is anyone going to run in the area? Does anyone want to run together? And just really put myself out there. Cause that is kind of scary. Just like throwing yourself out, being like, does somebody want to meet me and run? Like, that's kind of weird. Brittany and Megan both messaged and were like, yeah, we've been looking for a group. Let's meet up for a run. And so we decided to run Golden Ears from Alouette Lake, which is actually a really, in hindsight, I wouldn't meet there again for the first meeting when it's just me showing up to meet some random people who I've never met before because you have no cell phone reception. So we met and we ran and we just all got along really, really well. And then we went for a few more runs together after that. And then I think Britt brought it up and she had just said, you know, we really need like a running group out here. Like that running group on Strava, like they don't really run. And we all were just like, yeah, I think we're all on the same page. Like, let's just see what happens. And we'll just like kind of create a small group on Facebook and see if people want to join. And if we meet people in the trails, we'll kind of tell them what we're doing and see. And then, And then after that we had people joining really slowly. We met some really great people from the get-go. maybe we had like 10 members who would kind of come out rotating, but our group always ended up being like 5 to 7 people for the first year. And then COVID hit. And then we just were like, no runs, because that's not safe anymore. So we just stopped. And then we tried to do things to encourage people to still get out. So we did a lot of like giveaway contests and like draw prize things for like, I think we gave away like headphones one time and just like stuff that we thought might encourage people to still get out. Cause I think a lot of people were really struggling in COVID to just go outside and run and be comfortable doing those things. And then once the restrictions started lifting again, I was on mat leave. Yeah, I was on mat leave. I think I was back running, but I was very, very cautious because my daughter was a preemie and I was really worried about her. Just like I was worried about COVID and I didn't know what I would bring home if I went out with a group of people and that kind of thing. So I was extra cautious. And I remember we talked about hosting runs again and I just was upfront with it. And I said, you know, if you're comfortable and people are comfortable and you just make sure that everyone kind of knows the guidelines, then like, I'm fine with it, but I won't be attending because I'm a little bit weary of that. And so I think Brittany hosted the first run back and it was at Malcolm Knapp. And I think there was like this group of like 15 or 19 people or something. And like Britt and Jenna tell the story where they both pulled up and then they got out of their cars and just looked at each other and were like, is this for us? Like, is this for the run crew? What's going on? And then they ran the run. And I think Megan was there as well. And she caught up and yeah, they were just amazed at the turnout for it because like what? Before COVID, it was, our group was so much smaller and we had some core people. And then after, once the restrictions lifted, it was like somehow a bunch of people found out about the group on Facebook or were searching on Strava or something. And they all decided to come out. And then ever since then, it's just been like, I want to say like every week we have one or two new people who come out either to Thirsty Thursday or to one of our weekend runs. And we're just like continuously getting new members, which is really, really cool.
How old is it?
Wait, sorry, say that again.
How old is the group now?
Oh, we are going to have our 5th anniversary in October.
Wow, it's been 5 years. I'm flying.
Yeah, it's crazy. 5 years, yeah. So every year we host like our anniversary, which is just like a run in the trails and then some snacks and prizes and beers and coffee and stuff afterwards. But yeah, we didn't really think it would grow to be kind of what it is, which is really surreal and really cool. Like I think the community out here needed something like this because there was nothing. I think the closest thing to Maple Ridge for like a trail running group at the time was ATRC or like the Abbotsford Trail Runners, yeah. Or trail running group, and they were pretty new at that point too, but yeah, there really wasn't a lot.
Well, I'm so thankful because, like I said, you can go on a road run and, you know, just, pick, you know, do a 10K, but to run in one, like you said, Golden Ears doesn't always have cell phone reception. It's nice for safety purposes to have a buddy and just to get to know the trails. Like for me, just getting to know the neighborhood, the trails, and I have my favorite run routes now because of you guys. and if I run alone, but you know, for it'd be so random, but I'll be like running through the parking lot. It'd be either you or some other member of the group, and somehow you just like high five each other, or you like maybe like a kilometer or two with each other, and then you go on, you know, on your own. So funny that way. Nobody lives.
Yeah.
So I just feel it's funny that like most of my friends are still in Burnaby, but like I met so many people, and it's nice. Like I'm okay running alone. You know, like I love running alone, but it's just so nice to have company and meet other people. And
it is. And I find that it's such a nice boost too. Like going out running at Golden Ears is great. And like you said, like you'll run into people. Like if you look at Strava in the afternoon and you look at like some of the people from the crew and you look and there's so many people who have crossed paths with each other on a given day. It's just really cool. And then it's nice too. Like I had last year I was supposed to run Buckin' Hell. Me and Jenna were going to do the relay, so 25K and 25K. And then the week leading up to it, we both got COVID. And I was so devastated. And we were both being very dumb about it. Like, we're both like, oh, well, if we just keep testing, and then by Friday, if we're clear, then we can run on Saturday. Like, just so out to lunch. And then the race happened, and we had to not start, obviously. And then, like, a couple days later, or maybe the next day, I was like, I need 35 because I was supposed to run, or I need 20, I need 35 because I was supposed to run 25, and then I was supposed to have a shorter run the next day. And so I went into Golden Ears and I went through the horse trails and stuff, and it was a real slog. It was not a great run. And then I think I was like 8K out, and I could hear somebody coming up from behind me, and it was somebody from the crew, and he's like, oh, hey, I thought it was you. And then I was just like, yeah, you know, like, it's really nice to see you, but I'm just having a rough go. Like, I'm just going to slog it in until I can get to my car. Like, I'm just trying to survive this run. And he's like, hey, me too. he's like, do you mind company? Like, no worries at all. If you say no, if you just want to be alone, like, I'm happy to leave you alone, but do you want company? And I was like, yes, please. And so we just suffered together for the last like 7-8K and hung out. And it was really nice. I was like, I don't think I would have kept running. I think I probably would have done a lot more walking if he hadn't seen me. So it's always really nice. Like, I always know going into the trails, I'm probably going to run into somebody, which is a really nice feeling.
I think some of my best memories are those slogs with friends. It's funny because you can always get through an easy run, like, you know, whatever. But when you're struggling like that, it's like kind of almost funny and comical to think, hey, I have a buddy to, you know, keep slogging with and groan with.
Yeah. I think that's why me and Jenna get along so well for our runs, because we're generally like pretty chipper and have a pretty good time. But when it's not a good day, we're okay just being like, you know what? We're not having a great day. Let's just slog it out. And we just, like, I remember one time we were running and we were having such an awful day and it was miserable out. It was pouring rain and we had to get like 37, like something ridiculous in distance in. And we were just like, oh, we were like 18 kilometers and we heard a woodpecker and we just both stood there watching a woodpecker for probably like 10 or 15 minutes. Just because we were having such a rough go. And we just stopped and watched this woodpecker. And then we were like, you know what? We got to get moving. And then after that, it was fine. Like, we were like, that was ridiculous. I think we just needed like 10, 15 minutes to just space out and kind of collect our thoughts and zone out for a little bit. And then after that, we were fine. So yeah, I don't know. Running with somebody else is always a bonus. I think it always helps with the mental state of things, which is really, really nice because long runs can be grueling or lonely or just miserable if the weather's not nice.
Totally. Which,
it's BC, so any spring training or fall training or winter training is probably going to have some of those runs in there.
I think it's just in the last month or two when we forget. The weather's been amazing lately, and I keep forgetting. We spent most of the winter slogging, you know, we'll show up and it'd be pouring rain and, you know, like the parking lot would be flooded and somehow we will also get out there and we'll kind of laugh about it. And once we get moving, it's all great, right?
Yeah. And then in the winter time, or like, yeah, those same times you're like doing river crossings and you're like, what's the difference? Like, who cares? And you just like walk through the river because you're already soaked anyway. You're like, who cares? It's fine.
My theory, yeah. You're already wet. You can't get any wetter.
Yeah, exactly. You're already wet. It doesn't matter.
I love that attitude. I guess we'll start wrapping up and it's almost an hour. I won't take up too much of your time. I do want to make sure that we, I guess, discuss one more thing, and that's like your future plans. You just finished your first 60. Do you have any big goals in mind? What, where are you gonna go from here?
Oh, I don't know. I have been toying with the idea of jumping distance a little bit, but I haven't really put too much thought into it. I think I have a couple of races that I would be really keen to do, but they're in the States, like the Volcanic 50. That one looks really cool. You just like circumnavigate the rim of like the crater of a volcano, which seems really cool. But they say that it's the 50K that feels like a 50 miler. So I'm like, oh, that might be a nice jump. But the other one, next year, maybe doing the Fat Dog, doing the 40, because then that's just like jumping by another 10 from the 60, so that would be good. And then maybe jumping again, I don't know. I'm very indecisive, but I think I'm capable of jumping distance, and I think it's I think it would be fun. I think I would enjoy it. I just have to find the right race, I think.
I love your attitude. And for those who don't know, I think you're the opposite of me. You love the more challenging or technical, the better. I think you're drawn to that. I think you're over it.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize this until probably maybe 2 months ago or something, when a few of us were talking about the race that I was doing, the shoe swap one. And I was like, yeah, it just starts with incline. And then after that, it's runnable, like a runnable race. Like, what is this? I was so confused. And they were just saying, like, you obviously have not realized yet that you love a suffer fest. And I was like, no, I don't. What are you talking about? And they're like, you said immediately after running WHAM, which is like 50K, 3,500 meters elevation gain, like in the middle of summer. Like, you said immediately that you would run it again. You love a suffer fest. And I was like, that's true. I do like it. It's just like a nice feeling. Like, you climb all the hills and then you get to the top and it's like, wow, I did that. I'm capable of doing that. Like, let's see what else we can do. And it's just a really nice feeling. So I definitely love the suffer fest. It keeps the mind busy too. I think that also is part of it.
Yeah, no offense against you, Anna, but every time you recommend a race, I'm like, is Anna special?
That's something that came up recently too, where it was like, I think I need to be more realistic when I talk about certain races, because I say how, like, I ran into some people, I was running the Run Like a Girl, Be Fearless in Squamish, which is a beautiful course, and it's a 42. And I ran into a friend of mine who I haven't seen in a long time. He was running it with his partner. And I was talking to them about the Vertikiller race in Abbotsford. And I was like, yeah, it's such a fun race. You should totally join. And they're like, what's it called again? And I'm like, Vertikiller. And they're like, that sounds like it's really hard. And I'm like, yeah, but it's so much fun. And they're just like, how much elevation is it? I'm like, I don't remember, but it's a lot, but it'll be lots of fun. Don't worry about it. And then I was just like, yeah, I think I need to be a little bit more realistic about what the race really is, because I find it really fun, but some people really don't like to climb for hours on end. just a difference.
Slightly different. Also, definitional fun. I might just join for a Thirsty Thursday.
Yeah, totally. Thirsty Thursday is great.
Yeah, well, anyway, I will make sure in the show notes, I'll include, I guess, the Instagram and contact information for the group and your help if you want to share that afterwards. And yeah, thank you for having this conversation with me. And it's one more thing I need to ask. Like, if you're new to trail running, I guess, if you're talking to someone new like me, like if I just started and I was a road runner, or even if I'm just starting out on my running journey, what do you recommend? What's the best way to, you know, get into it, get your feet wet, and not be intimidated?
I think there's like a couple of things. I think take the time to really find your people, find people who you can see yourself spending, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in the trails with on the weekend, because that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. So try out different groups and see what works for you. And then the other is, don't judge people by what they're wearing or what they look like. Like, I remember showing up to those mech races, which we talked about at the very beginning, like $15, really entry-level stuff. They don't have them anymore, but I remember showing up. And one of the races I went to, I want to say it was in Lynn Valley. And I remember sitting in my car and I saw people and they had their Salomon hydration vests on and they had their fancy shoes and socks on and their Arc'teryx jackets on. And I remember sitting in my car being like, this is out of my league. Like, these people are like, I don't belong here. These people are way faster than me. They're way more seasoned than me. They know what they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And I started getting in my head, that to the point where I actually was contemplating leaving and not running, because I was so intimidated by these people who looked like, you know, ultra runners. They looked like these pro athletes. And then I ran it and it was totally fine. Like, so just try not to like look at people and like think about how far they are in their running journey, and just kind of focus on yourself and how far you have come to this point, and how much further you want to go, because it's really easy to look at other people and be like, wow, they're so much faster. They can run hills, or they've run so many more races or further distance or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, like, when it comes to running, you're only competing with yourself. So that's my advice.
I can still use that advice even now. I think those are gems. Thank you for sharing that, Anna, and thank you for sharing everything about your running journey today. And I can't wait to run with you again in the trails very soon, I guess.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been lots of fun.
Thank you for listening to yet another episode of this podcast. If you enjoyed it, please give me a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Happy running.